Sanjaya uvacha drisvatu pandavanikam vidyudhanam duryodhanastadha acharyam upasangayamaya rajavacharanam abravit. Sanjaya uvacha Dristva tu pandavanikam vihuram duryodhanas tada acharyam upasan gamya raja vachanam abravit. Sanjaya uvacha, Sanjaya said, Drisva, after seeing, tu, Pandava anikam, the soldiers of the Pandavas, Vihudam, arranged in military phalanx, Duryodhana, King Duryodhana, tada, at that time, acharyam, the teacher, upasanganyam, approaching, raja, the king, vachanam, words, abravit, spoke. Sanjaya said, O king, after looking over the army arranged in military formation by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words. Purport. Dhritarashtra was blind from birth. Unfortunately, he was also bereft of spiritual vision. He knew very well that his sons were equally blind in the matter of religion, and he was sure that they could never reach an understanding with the Pandavas, who were all pious since birth. Still, he was doubtful about the influences of the place of pilgrimage, and Sanjaya could understand his motive in asking about the situation on the battlefield. Sanjaya wanted, therefore, to encourage the despondent king and thus assured him that his sons were not going to make any sort of compromise under the influences of the holy place. Sanjaya therefore informed the king that his sons, Duryodhana, after seeing the military forces of the Pandavas, at once went to the commander-in-chief, Dronacharya, to inform him of the real position. Although Duryodhana is mentioned as the king, he still had to go to the commander on account of the seriousness of the situation. He was therefore quite fit to be a politician, but Duryodhana's diplomatic veneer could not disguise the fear he felt when he saw the military arrangements of the Pandavas. Om agyanat mirandasya agyanangyana salakaya chaksu sumlitam gena tajvai sri karavinama shri chaitanya marum jinstam srapitam gena bhutale shvayam rupa kadamai padatte shvapadatikam. So, again we're starting over this Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And we know that Dhritarashtra was blind from birth, and therefore he was using the medium of Sanjaya to relate to him all of the activities that were taking place. And he asked Sanjaya After my sons and my brother's son assembled together for fighting, what did they do? Sanjaya didn't want to discourage Dhritarashtra because he could understand the feelings that his master was having, and he knew that Dhritarashtra wanted this battle, this fight to take place between both brothers with great vigor. And he thought, let my sons and my brother's sons engage in battle. So he also concluded that he had 100 sons. And amongst the Pandavas, there were only 5. So calculating this, he felt that he was already going to be victorious in this battle between the Pandavas. But Sanjaya had to tell him differently. So what did Sanjaya tell him? He told him, unfortunately, Yatra Yogeshwara Hari. So my dear Dhritarashtra, do not expect victory because it is not possible. What you don't see is on the other side, there is who? Krishna. And Krishna can never be defeated. Where there is Krishna, there is sure to be victory. And also with Krishna, there was Arjuna. So with these two personages, it was beyond any possibility or capability for Dhritarashtra and his 100 sons to become victorious in this battle. So still to encourage Dhritarashtra, he addressed Duryodhana as Raja, as the king. But in his mind, he could think that, oh yes, my sons will become, you know, victorious. Sanjaya said, Raja Dhristva Tu. So Duryodhana didn't expect that the Pandavas would be able to put together any type of military strength, because there were several reasons. First was their kingdom had been taken away from them. All their wealth, their money also had been taken away from them. And they had been exiled into the forest for a number of years. And also during this time, they had to endure so much tribulations, so many struggles, so much strife. And so Dhritarashtra thought that, oh no, it's not possible. But Duryodhana had forgotten that Krishna was on the other side. He was there with Arjuna. This was beyond his ability to understand. And when he saw the military force and the formation that the Pandavas had assembled, he became bewildered. And it says, what did he do? He went to Dronacharya. So who was Dronacharya? He was the teacher. Acharya means teacher. And what did he teach? He taught the science of military affairs. And so he went to Dronacharya and he inquired certain things to him about, you know, the Pandavas. How had they been able to come together with such great force. And both of these parties, the Pandavas and Duryodhana and all of his brothers, when they were young, they were all sent to Dronacharya to learn the arts of warfare. And so even when they were young, these boys would practice very diligently every day the science of being a Kshatriya. And there was always rivalry and competition between these boys, and especially between Arjuna and Duryodhana. Between Dronacharya and Duryodhana. But in this battle, when the battle took place, Duryodhana had commissioned Dronacharya and also Bhishmadev, and had been providing them with money for their sustenance, and so therefore they felt some obligation to side with Duryodhana in this battle. But, you know, there could have been some competition or some disgruntled feelings about which side both of these great warriors took and joined with in this battle. But Arjuna's side, Yudhisthira, Bhishma, Nakula, Sahadev, they didn't care, especially Arjuna, they didn't care because on their side, especially for Arjuna, they had Krishna. And as we know, Krishna says that he was friends with both parties, both sides, and this was a family dispute, so therefore he wasn't going to actively take part in this battle. And the choice was made by Duryodhana to take all of the soldiers and just give that one little Krishna to Arjuna. And Krishna says that I won't even fight. So all these other soldiers went to Duryodhana, and Krishna says, yes, I'll come to your side and I will only act as your chariot driver. So this also didn't disturb Arjuna. He was so elated just to have Krishna there as his friend. They are very dear friends. I think Parvati told me that this is about the 14th time that they have read to conclusion the topics that are going to be discussed in this Bhagavad Gita. And some of us may have read through it also two or three or four or five times. And this conversation that is going to take place between Krishna and Arjuna, it's not because Arjuna was in Maya or he was in illusion. No, he did this for our benefit. So all of these questions and all of these different answers and dialogue that are going to be read and discussed between Krishna and Arjuna are for our benefit. So it behooves us to, you know, listen attentively to all of this discourse, and even the most simple question can give insight into what is necessary for us to do to make advancement in spiritual life. So that's why we're here, is because hopefully we all want to make advancement in spiritual life. And how quickly we do or how quickly we make advancement, it depends on how diligently we follow the instructions that are going to be given here by Krishna to Arjuna. So, because this is just the beginning of this dialogue, there's not too much that we can really discuss right at this time. So, I'll leave this as kind of a discussion or a question period. If any of you have any doubts, like Arjuna, you can ask, and perhaps we can shed some light on these, or any other comments that someone would like to make.
Prabhu has given this purpose, and Dhritarashtra was blind, and he was blind, spiritually blind also.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that one, that how a person can be blind and also spiritually blind?
Physically, he had no vision. Spiritually blind can apply to everybody. So, it says that knowledge begins where? What does it say? Atta Brahma Jigyasa. So, this means when one begins to inquire about Brahman, who am I, where have I come from, why am I here? Other than that is ignorance. And so therefore, if we are not making these inquiries, we are equally as blind as Dhritarashtra, spiritually blind, because we become enamored by the modes of nature. He's attached to his 100 sons, so in this way, he's spiritually blind at the same. You understand? Are you spiritually blind?
Just like 500 years ago, these things were there. 5,000 years ago. The Kurukshetra took the 5,000 years ago.
Yes.
So since from 5,000 years up till now, the people are spiritually blind. They cannot understand the spiritual knowledge.
Yes, and what verse in the Bhagavad Gita explains why? Bahonam janmanamante gyanaginapapadite vasudevam sarvamiti sabmahatma suladalam. So it's not that this is a cheap thing and everybody's going to, you know, just skate their way back to Godhead. No, it requires a great amount of effort. So that's why today, as 5,000 years ago, the majority of the people were blind. All of those people were taking part in the battle of Kurukshetra. They were there, standing before Krishna. But how did they see Krishna? They didn't see him as the devotees saw him. They saw him as an obstacle in the battle. You understand? So those obstacles are still there. When you go out into the streets and you deal with mundane people, they have no knowledge of God. They have no knowledge of what is to be done and what is not to be done. So unfortunately, you know, that's how this material energy keeps us here in this material world. We've been given these material bodies consisting of the gross and subtle bodies, the senses which become attracted to these objects in the material world, and they detour us or distract us from spiritual activities. So we will remain blind until we decide that we want to change in our life.
Duryodhana, he knew Krishna and he went to Krishna when Arjuna and Krishna both Duryodhana went to Krishna. So he went to ask him some help. So he knew that Krishna is supreme or something. He knew something about Krishna. That's why he went to him.
He went, but at the same time, when given the choice, which do you want? He chose Krishna's army. You understand? So his intelligence can be obscured. Why? Remember, all of these personages here in this Bhagavad Gita are playing a role in which the conclusion is Krishna can speak Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. So therefore they're like puppets to orchestrate this book. They all have a role in that. So everything you read is something that is continually going on. Bhagavad Gita is being spoken in so many universes again and again and again and again. So for that reason.
So similar way to we can think that we are in this material world, we have our different roles, each and every conditioned soul having the different roles.
Every living entity has a different role and will react to the material energy. And what is dictating how we behave? Anarthas. So a dog will act like a dog because it has a dog's body, right? And you may behave in this way because you're being influenced by your past karmic behavior. So yes, everyone is, no two individuals are the same. We are all different. So you're going to respond and react to a situation differently than this young woman here. So that's just the nature of material energy and this material world. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. In this slope actually, Duryodhana, he could only see the military formation of the Pandavas.
Yes.
He couldn't see this Lord Krishna. Because
yes.
Because he was not having mercy, he was not having trust and faith,
yes,
in Lord Krishna. Lord, the trust and faith in Lord Krishna is because of his mercy.
Yes.
And I have also seen while preaching to these devotees who are coming to the temple actually, they are visiting the temple, but they hardly could see the big grassy big land. They even do not know what they have seen in the temple. They are just coming and going out of the temple.
Well, you know, what kinds of devotees are there? Kanishta Adhikari? Yes, but what is the Kanishta Adhikari? How does he see the temple? He comes to the temple and...
My intention is that actually, afterwards there is a much thing, the man cannot see. If there is a mercy of the Lord, he is able to see.
It's by the mercy of the spiritual master. So he opens our darkened eyes. So, you know, Krishna's mercy is available to everybody. Krishna is your constant companion. Where is Krishna right now? Krishna is in everybody's heart. And what is he doing? He's giving us dictation. You know, he's telling us what to do. And we have that, freedom in which we can listen and follow his instructions and begin our path back to Godhead, or we can not listen and do as we... What is the conclusion in Bhagavad Gita? What did Krishna say to Arjuna? So many topics have we discussed, and now you contemplate on them and then you do what you want to do, because that's our free will. So these people who come to the temple, they see the Lord for the first time. Some of them will become devotees, maybe in this lifetime. But anyone who enters into the temple, they're beginning that process of going back to Godhead. So how many lifetimes have you been endeavoring? So we don't know, because we can't even remember one lifetime ago. What to speak of, you know, there are so many lives that we've lived and gone through. So it's, you know, the devotees see the people visit the temple, they encourage them to chant, that, you know, they encourage them to take darshan. If they bow down, you know, all of these things are described. If one bows down in the temple before the deity, so much punya, so much mercy is being bestowed upon us. So, you know, let them do that. And hopefully they can, you know, take advantage of it.
So, like, because this is because of their past deeds or deeds in past life, actually. There is no advantage of it. The man understands a lot, actually. It takes a lot of time.
Yes, it's not, you know, I already said once before that it's a gradual process.
It's a gradual process.
Yes, so after many, 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 many births and deaths, one who's in knowledge will do what? You know, first they approach a bona fide spiritual master and they render service to him, and then they follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, you know, and then they begin to make more rapid progress on their path back to Godhead. So, fortunately, because Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, he's simplified that process where we can go back to Godhead very quickly. And that is by, you know, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, if you want to go back very quickly, you have to chant. Right? Hare Krishna. Someone else have a question?
Hare Krishna. I'm in the field of education, and it's a comment on me. And I feel that, you know, the Islamic and Christian philosophy has been, you know, spread in the education system, Indian education system, like, you know, why do you worship idols, and, you know, God is everywhere, he is not only in temple. People are, you know, listening to lots of things outside, you know, in schools and colleges and, you know, in their workplaces when they mix up with other communities and all. That's why their faith is deteriorating. So because of that also, they just come to the temple, you know, empty-minded, without faith, and just go back. So a lot of enlightenment has to be done from our side, from the basic education system, etc. The faith, we have to revive the faith among all the people, then only we can see some changes, solid changes. That's what I feel.
Yes, that's true. Unfortunately, you know, if I make comments about other religions, you know, there is bound to be some criticism. But just as if you say you're in the educational system, you have a kindergarten and you have a university and a PhD course. So these other religions are kindergarten. You know, so, and we are in the PhD course, so good for us. We're very lucky. So, as I said, it's very important to listen because Krishna is speaking to you. So I tell you a story. Try to find a good... There's a picture. This is my deity. It's the Giriraj. How this deity came to me, very interesting. So most of you have gone to the shop across the street run by Bihari Lal. And before Bihari Lal, he was a young boy at one time, his father, and that was the first shop in Vrindavan when we started to build here, and he sold only milk. But then he passed and his son took over and expanded, and he lives right over here, just practically outside our gates in the Madhavan colony. So one day he took me to a Nimbarka Sampradaya ashram. And in that ashram they have a Giriraj deity that they have been worshipping for 1,200 years. And so, very little tiny thing, about as big as my thumb like this. And so I looked at the deity, so tiny, could hardly see him because he was covered by a flower, only one flower. And the pujaris invited me for lunch, and I asked them, I will come if I can make something for Giriraj. So they said, okay, and I made some sweet rice. So normally when you go to a program in India, sweet rice is always hot because it's the last thing they cook. And so it's not so palatable, but I made nice sweet rice, put it in the refrigerator with raisins and saffron and nice cardamom and things such as that, and then took it to their Giriraj. And the pujari offered it, and then afterwards they gave the sweet rice to the guests, but pujaris didn't eat any. And so I was wondering, oh, maybe they don't want to eat it because it's made by a Westerner, a white person, not an Indian. But soon the pujari went in and got the sweet rice, came out, and he ate one bowl and went back and got another bowl, and then he went back again for the third time and ate some more sweet rice. And then that night when the pujari was sleeping, his little Giriraj came in his dream, and he says, oh, Gopal, he is my bhakta, and his sweet rice is very good. So now I want to live in his house. And so the pujari went to Bihari Lal, and he told Bihari Lal this story. He didn't speak English. And so at that time I had just come to India. This was like 2013, after having a big heart attack in America. And so my health was very weak. And I told them, first they went to Govardhan, and they looked for a Shila, Govardhan Shila, and they found the Shila, and they brought the Shila back, and then they told me this story and told me that I should take Giriraj in my house. And I was weak, and I was taking medicine every day for heart attack, and I told them, no, I can't take Giriraj. And so they were a little bit unhappy. And then right after that, I became more sick, and there's a kind of disease where your whole body becomes paralyzed. And so my body became paralyzed, and I couldn't move, not even my arms or my legs or anything. And so I was taken to Bhaktivedanta Hospital in Bombay, and then the doctors didn't know what this disease was because it's very rare. Maybe one person in 500,000 will get it. And so they were doing all these tests trying to find out what this disease was. And when they discovered it, of course, luckily there was some medicines to take, and gradually I regained some control of my body. But during this time, this little Giriraj came again to the pujari in his dream, and he says, "See, I made Gopal sick. So I made him sick, so he needs me to take care of him. So you tell him when you see him that now he takes me to his house, and he won't get sick again." So when they told me this story, then I went and I got him. So he will take care of you. Krishna will take care of you. So I have many nice pictures of him. This is a plain picture, no flowers. Huh? Yeah. But there are many nice stories. Krishna is always talking to us, telling us what to do. You know, so, and he since he's been in my house, he continues to talk, telling me now. Before, he had an old rusty little Shringasan. So then he told me, "Oh, I don't like this one. You get me a new one." So then he made me go out and buy, and then these turbans. So he said, "I want a new turban." So now he has maybe 15 turbans. So every day he's telling me, "Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that." And sometimes I listen and I do it, and sometimes I don't. And if I don't listen, then he tells me, he says, "Why don't you listen to me? I'm telling you to do something." And so if you listen, then he will guide you. And so whatever he does, he doesn't lead you astray. He leads you on the path, the right path. So, you know, your whole day can be consumed by taking care of Krishna. And so when you're not taking care of Krishna, what should you do? You should chant Hare Krishna. So I see so many people, so most people, I live in the MVT, if they see me, all day long I'm sitting down chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So sometimes 12 hours in one day chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And I see other people, like with you, where's your beads? That's not beads. So, why are they in your pocket? Well, no, I'm saying that so many people, they have beads, and where's your beads? Oh, they're in my room. Where's your beads? Oh, they're here in my purse. Where's your beads? Oh, so in this way, you know, there was a credit card company, American Express. They say, don't leave home without it. Meaning the credit cards. So in this way, your beads, don't leave home without them. So keep your beads. Yes. So what did Lord Chaitanya say? Harinam, what is it? Okay, what is that again? Yes. No, you go ahead. What does that mean? I'm not singling you out. I'm giving you an opportunity to share something with all of us. So.
No way.
Someone can help him?
No way. There are many.
So, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. So, in this age of Kali, there's no other way. Stress three times.
No other way.
No other way. No other way than chanting. Yes, so, and that's very clear, and it should be very easy to understand. So if we do that, what is the reward? What is the reward? We will go back to Godhead, yes. So, but chanting Hare Krishna is, you know, they say there's no hard and fast rules in the chanting of Hare Krishna, but that's not necessarily true. There are many things. So we have the 10 offenses that you have to be very diligent while chanting not to commit any of these, because if you do, you know, what happens? You have a delay in your going, in your chanting. So, okay, anyone else have a question or any comment or anything? So, yes, Ms. Mataji?
Just a very basic question.
Okay, sure. Okay, it's okay, it's on.
I don't know enough about you, about, you know, I know about Krishna, but I don't know many details. I was curious about, you know, in life of a human being, as we evolve through our life, like what are the, you know, like correct timings for you to realize.
Okay.
Then about yourself, did you come from another tradition?
Yes.
How did you switch over to Krishna?
Well, this, when is the right time to begin learning about Krishna? Now, the answer to that is now. Okay? And in regards to myself, my curiosity began at a very young age, at the age of 7. So we know, now I know that this is a gradual process after many, many births and deaths. But when I was 7 years old, I was in my bed and I was thinking, and I was asking this question, who are those people in the next room? Who are they? And I was referring to my mother and father. And then I said, what does it mean, mother and father? Every house, there's a mother and a father. So there must be something more. So at the age of 7, I began running away from home. If I was in the Vedic time, I would have gone to the forest and met some sages. But I was living in a Western country, and there was no one there, but I continued to run away again, and they would bring me home, and then I'd run away again, and I'd run away again, and I'd run away again, and then I continued this up to a certain age, and then after being incorrigible was the ruling, I was put in a prison. For being incorrigible, not listening to my parents, and I stayed for 1 year in this prison from the age of 16 till the age of 17. But during this time, I had somehow learned about yoga, meditating and such as that, and I felt that yoga was the way in which I was going to make spiritual advancement. But unfortunately, all of the yogis in America, they were cheaters. They weren't honest. But in 1967, I went to San Francisco after getting out of prison, and I was very fortunate to go to the very first Rathyatra festival that the Hare Krishna movement had. And this was on the back of a truck, just an old truck, not a big cart like you see in Jagannath Puri, but on the back of this truck. And from that day, I started chanting Hare Krishna. And then I met Srila Prabhupada, and then from there my life has been wonderful.
What did it take you out? I mean, what did Prabhupada tell you that convinced you?
Well, I had been practicing yoga. I went to to Hawaii, and I went into the jungle in Hawaii, and I built a little hut, a small hut, and I was doing yoga all day long. And then part of my day I would chant Hare Krishna, and then I had so many questions about where am I, who am I, what am I doing in this body. And then when I went to the temple the very first time, we didn't have any books. The only book we had was the book that Srila Prabhupada printed in India. Not this one, it was a Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto. And that was the only book. And then they gave me this three books and said, this is our books, we study these are for you. And so I started to read, and then every question that I had were answered in the first few pages of that book. And so from that moment, I knew that Srila Prabhupada knew what I wanted to know. And so I'm still here today, and now that's 52 years. So, Hare Krishna. Okay, I'm sorry if you didn't enjoy the class, but thank you. Any other questions? No? Okay, Hare Krishna.